way still lay along here, the tree was already large and conspicuous. It stood, as it still stands, in front of the tailor's whitewashed timber house, close to the ditch, which then was so large that the cattle could be watered there, and where in the summertime the little peasant boys used to run about naked and paddle in the water. Underneath the tree stood a stone milepost cut from a big rock. Now it is overturned, and a bramble bush grows over it. The new King's Highway was built on the other side of the rich farmer's manor house. The old one became a field path. The ditch became a puddle, overgrown with duckweed. If a frog tumbled down into it, the greenery was parted, and one saw the black water. All around it grew and still grow muscadonna, buckbean, and yellow iris. The tailor's house was old and crooked. The roof was a hotbed for moss and house leek. The dovecot had collapsed, and starlings built their nests there. The swallows hung nest after nest on the house gable and all along beneath the roof. It was just as if luck itself lived there. And once it had. Now, however, this was a lonely and silent place. Here in solitude lived weak-willed poor Rasmus, as they called him. He had been born here. He had played here. Had leaped across meadow and over hedge, had splashed as a child in the ditch, and had climbed up the old tree. The tree would raise its big branches with pride and beauty, just as it raises them yet, but storms had already bent the trunk a little, and time had given it a crack. Wind and weather have since lodged earth in the crack, and there grow grass and greenery. Yes, and even a little serviceberry has planted itself there. When in spring the swallows came, they flew about the tree and the roof and plastered and patched their old nests, while poor Rasmus let his nest stand or fall as it liked. His motto was, "What good will it do?" And it had been his father's, too. He stayed in his home. The swallows flew away, but they always came back, the faithful creatures. The starling flew away, but it returned, too, and whistled its song once again. Once Rasmus had known how. But now he neither whistled nor sang. The wind whistled in the old willow tree then, just as it now whistles. Indeed, it is as if one were hearing a song. The wind sings it, the tree tells it, and if you do not understand it, then ask old Johanna in the poorhouse. She knows about it. She knows about everything of old. She is like a book of chronicles, with inscriptions and old recollections. At the time the house was new and good, the country tailor, Ivar Olse, and his wife, Maren, moved into it. Industrious, honest folk, both of them. Old Johanna was then a child. She was the daughter of a wooden shoemaker, one of the poorest in the parish. Many a good sandwich did she receive from Maren, who was in no want of food. The lady of the manor house liked Maren, who was always laughing and happy and never downhearted. She used her tongue a good deal, but her hands also. She could sew as fast as she could use her mouth, and moreover, she cared for her house and children. There were nearly a dozen children, 11 altogether. The 12th never made its appearance. "Poor people always have a nest full of youngsters," growled the master of the manor house. "If one could drown them like kittens and keep only one or two of the strongest, it would be less of a misfortune." "God have mercy," said the tailor's wife. "Children are a blessing from God. They are such a delight in the house. Every child is one more Lord's prayer. If times are bad and one has many mouths to feed, why, then a man works all the harder and finds out ways and means honestly. Our Lord fails not when we do not fail." The lady of the manor house agreed with her. She nodded kindly and patted Marin's cheek. She had often done so, yes, and had kissed her as well, but that had been when the lady was a little child, and Maren her nursemaid. The two were fond of each other, and this feeling did not wane. Each year at Christmas time, winter provisions would arrive at the tailor's house from the manor house. A barrel of meal, a pig, two geese, a tub of butter, cheese, and apples. That was indeed an asset to the larder. Ivar Olse looked quite pleased, too, but soon came out with his old motto, "What good will it do?" The house was clean and tidy, with curtains in the windows and flowers as well, both carnations and balsams. A sampler hung in a picture frame, and close by hung a love letter in rhyme.